You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Nutty Reed with Hotel Santa Cruz. And on the line, we've got spin-off founder and CEO Duncan Grieve. Good morning, mate.
Good morning.
Now, it's all right. Now, are you guys doing a bit of a fundraiser? Like many media outlets out there at the moment, it is pretty tough going. Where do we start, Duncan?
I mean, we've had a members program for a while, which is a way for our audience to pay to keep a paywall down, is kind of how we frame it. And you know, for the past few years, it stayed fairly flat. But you know, as everyone knows, like flat when your expenses are going up doesn't get you anywhere that good. And then given the sort of, you know, the our other income streams like New Zealand on air projects and commercial revenue are down, it just sort of felt like, you know, you see what happened to News Hub and to institutions like Sunday and Fair Go earlier in the year, and you go, well, we could just sort of slowly walk into that, or we could give our audience the opportunity to kind of change that trajectory. And that's ultimately what we're doing with this fundraising drive.
Nice. Now, I mean, given the ongoing challenges with advertising revenue and public funding, how do you see the future of independent journalism here in Aotearoa? Are we at tipping point where only a few major players are going to survive, or is there a model that will allow for some diversity and sustainability of the industry? Because obviously independent journalism is crucial to being able to tell the stories of New Zealanders.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've probably reached a tipping point over the last couple of years, and I think we're sort of living in that reality now. One of our reporters did a pretty chunky survey of every news organization to get a kind of a current tally of working journalists, and I think this was in sort of March of this year, and I think they got to, it was around 1300 or something, which, you know, maybe it sounds like a lot, but it's about a third of what we had in 2008. So there's been a sort of a slow attrition, but most people who know think that we're going to be less than 1,000 by the end of the year. It just shows the pace of it.
Wow. And
yeah, it's, I guess I like, there's this writer I follow, Brian Morrissey, who talks about the information space as a way of describing our new environment where there's a lot of stuff that looks like journalism, that has the appearance of it, but isn't vetted or tested in the same way that journalism is. And it does feel like New Zealand has the chance to test what a kind of post-journalistic information space looks like, unless there is some big change. Not that there won't be any, but it'll either be, like you say, behind paywalls at, you know, and if maybe as few as one big shops, probably NZME, and then RNZ making freely accessible journalism, which is great, but it's just not nearly at the volume you need to sort of function as a country, but particularly, you know, places like BFM where you have, they have this really specific role with sort of, you know, independent music and kind of focused on an audience and a demographic that has a particular set of kind of journalistic needs. So yeah, it's a pretty hairy situation.
Mm. We've obviously got this crazy rise of global tech companies, and in your open letter you mentioned that you know, potentially 70% of advertising spend now goes to large, the key thing is here, unregulated overseas technology companies who pay very little tax in our country, yet they use all our infrastructure. They don't really give too much of a rat's ass about the information that they give us. How do you think this imbalance in the media ecosystem is affecting local journalism? And
I think that's really the nub of it for me, is that, you know, our journalistic institutions that we're talking about came up in a particular political era where the ability to talk to a wide number of people was considered something that was, you know, you'd want to be quite careful with that, you know, like it can kind of strain social cohesion. You want whatever people are saying to be correct, and you want there to be major sort of penalties for being wrong, you know? And so we have things like the Media Council, the Advertising Standards Authority, the Broadcasting Standards Authority, you know, all of these kind of wraparound actors, you know, even as going so far as like the Commerce Commission, who sort of oversee New Zealand businesses. Mm. But with the internet, you know, I always think about it, it came up at a time when it was sort of post Reagan, post Thatcher, post this like big deregulatory impulse. And so it was kind of an accident that it was born at a time when regulations were frowned upon. And the idea was, I'll just let it be free. And that was actually cute for its first like 10 years. And it was just sort of like bulletin boards. And, you know, you could kind of feel that it had this almost anarchic spirit to it. But the companies that got born into that vacuum are now so big that they effectively control the internet, and their new economy is built on them. And honestly, good people who work there, amazing products, but it's just kind of bananas to have two societies, two business sectors running, one of which is heavily taxed, heavily regulated, and one of which is untaxed and unregulated. Mm. And well, what do you think is going to happen? Of course, they're eating our lunch. And,
yeah, there's
and
money. How does this end? Yeah,
exactly right.
I mean, as financial support for independent media outlets continues to shrink, do you think there's enough public awareness about the importance of supporting local journalism? And what strategies are there out there for supporting independent outlets like the Spin-Off? And how do we make a case to move forward?
I mean, yeah, it's funny, right? Because people talk about the news media spending too much time covering itself, and you know, media is my main beat, so I'm certainly guilty of that. But when you're living through a time of such drastic kind of, you know, shrinking, it feels kind of incumbent on you to like at least point it out, because if not you, then who? And so you know, I do think that the public's aware that there's a problem. I just don't think that they're necessarily aware of their role in kind of creating a solution. I mean, there's always been room for audience support of institutions. You know, you think about like the B card was like a very early version of that kind of mechanism. And, you know, so like previously we've been able to, you know, it was entirely funded by advertising. I think we're moving into an era where the largest funder is going to be the audiences of these products.
Yes.
That's the message that we're kind of having to get out there. And, you know, basically either you pay for it or you know, you risk that it goes.
Hmm. I guess that kind of leads into my next question. Like, do you believe that the current media landscape in Aotearoa, with its reliance on both private and public funding, when I say public, I mean state support, is it sustainable in the long term?
I think we've got a bit of a system design problem in that we created New Zealand On Air as this kind of decentralized version of the ABC or the BBC. It doesn't have direct kind of funding. Like in the UK, you have your broadcasting fee and that pays for the BBC. In New Zealand, it's essentially at the whim of the government of the day. But also it supports specific products. It doesn't support platforms. And we're seeing platform collapse now. So, you know, where it still seems to have this bias towards let's make some things that we can put on, you know, a BFM or a Spin-Off or a TVNZ when those things are fundamentally financially challenged. So I think probably they're going to have to change how they think about their support for the media sector. But if they spend too long thinking about it, there just won't be one of any consequence left.
Nice. And one more question a couple more questions actually. In your open letter, you highlighted the paradox of more audience engagement, but fewer financial resources. I mean, how do you navigate this contradiction as a business?
Yeah, it's that's really the sort of maddening thing for me. Like, you know, with TV, it's audience, linear television's audiences have been going down for sort of at least 10 years now. And so on some level, it is a result of the audience being smaller than it was. There's other issues too, but at least then they're sort of correlated. that's what's kind of grinding our gears is that we're at this place where through a bunch of hard work and because we were a born digital platform, our audience is as strong as it's been at any time outside of, you know, elections or COVID. And yet and that should be, you know, in any kind of functioning market, if you're doing better than you've ever been, you'd think that the financial rewards would be locked in.
Yeah.
For that. Yeah, exactly. And yet we just don't see that. And that's kind of, to me, the clearest indication yet that we just don't have a functioning market for journalism.
Yeah. All right. Oh, man, heavy duty stuff. Now, okay, Duncan, if people want to get out and support some independent journalism, aka the spin-off, how do they do so?
If you just go to our platform, you'll see the future of the spin-off, an open letter, or just search the spin-off open letter and go there, and you can read our kind of justification and read an explanation of our predicament, and then you can donate directly on page. And what we're looking for is to double our number of members who support us on an ongoing basis. We had 9,000 before we started, and yeah, that's a big audacious goal, but it's basically the only way that we can see that we'll get out of this in a kind of sustainable position. So yeah, that's what we're looking for.
All right, mate. Hey, thank you very much, Duncan. Duncan Greve from the spin-off. Best of luck.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate you.
You guys do great work, and I'm rooting for you. Hopefully, people out there listening, subscribe and send some cash your way. All right, cheers, brother.
All right, thanks, mate. Appreciate it.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.